2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall also be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Look at verse 3 one more time. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Precious Lord, I just thank you this morning. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for all the announcements. Thank you for hearing our prayers. You know who's sick, and you already know what's going to happen in those situations, Father God. And we thank you for being God, capital G, all caps, as Deacon said. And we thank you, Father God, for looking over us and watching over us and giving us your word. Your word to preach, so we won't have to make up stuff. And we thank you, Father God, as we endure hardness. Make us good soldiers for Jesus Christ. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. You may be seated.
Yeah, amen.
Starting the new year off, and want to just teach a series on believers on enemy ground. Believers on enemy ground. How many feel like you're on enemy ground sometime?
Amen.
All believers should say amen. I feel like this world is something different anymore. It's changed, and maybe it's not the world has changed. Maybe it's just you just changed. Now the old folks used to sing back in the day, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm just on a journey passing through. This world is not my home.
Amen.
And unfortunately, too many folks make it their homes. They love it down here. I'd rather be down here than be in heaven. Heaven is nice, but earth is better. That's not the battle cry of the pilgrim or the soldier for God. What's a soldier? What's a soldier? A soldier is one who has won. He has enlisted. What's one of the things that a soldier has to do? Follow orders. But one of the things he has to do is make a pledge. We talk about our church covenant. It's a contract. You can't get out of a contract. Okay? You can't get out of a covenant. Now in the world you can, because you got a contract that has a time limit on it. But once you sign up for God's army, you're going to fight to the day you leave here.
Amen.
You're going to fight to the day you leave here. And you know what you want to hear? When you go to a meeting, and I haven't been in the army, I was raised by a Marine. Okay? And I followed orders. Okay? I followed orders. I had certain things I had to do.
Amen.
Cut the grass, shovel the snow, rake the leaves, take care of yourself, go to work, be on time, shine your shoes. Suck that belly in. Get that hump out of your back. Yeah, I'm just telling you how my dad raised me. Get that hump out of your back. All kind of stuff. I thank him for it.
Amen.
I thank him for it. I tell people I had a great father. Taught me how to be a man.
Amen.
Prepared me to be in relationship with the all caps God that Jeremy was talking about.
Amen.
Okay? But being a soldier, you understand that you are always preparing for battle, warfare, and again, you never know when it's going to strike. But what are you called to do? To be ready. to be ready. And your response can only be what you have learned, what you've been taught. So if you haven't been taught anything, and if you're not prepared, you don't even know where your equipment is at when the battle, when the strike hits, then guess what? You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. Paul's telling Timothy here that he's to teach folks to endure hardness as good soldiers. And people say, well, that's kind of strong. It is kind of strong, because what the church has become today, it has become entertainment. It's become sort of like a place of entertainment. Okay? The church is just another form of entertainment for a lot of people. Now, we don't like to put it in that category, but to a lot of folks, church has to be exciting, and it has to be fun, and it has to be, you know, a place where it's enjoyable to be there. I don't know how many folks that's really in the military and really up against it are really enjoying themselves. When it's 100 degrees outside, they're walking around and they got them suits on, and they carrying their backpacks and different things like that. I don't know how comfortable that is. I can't imagine it's really comfortable. It's not. Some military people here. Listen, if we open up the scriptures, and I say the Christian life is not a game. Y'all know it's not. I take it real serious. Mm-hmm. Probably too serious for some people. I say, you too serious. I didn't come here for that. I'm going somewhere where it ain't so serious. And that's fine. I understand. Because, see, what happens when the entertainment Christian runs into the spiritual warfare Christian, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. There's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to a group of people. They want to come out to the prison where I work at, and they want to have fun night. Mm-hmm. Fun night. This is a church, big church, one of the biggest churches in Gatlin. They're going to have fun night, and this is what they do at their church. They want to bring you to the prison. Fun night. I said, what's fun night? We play games, and there's dancing, and there's music, and there's food, and at the end we have a short sermon, and the kids receive the Holy Ghost. Honestly, I say this because we took a hit. You know, when the church take a hit, and a mortar strike was to come in here, there's a proper response. There has to be a proper response. It's not a game.
Amen.
I watch sports. Y'all know I watch sports. Love to see Pittsburgh lose. And it's a game. Sports is a game. After the game, you see the players. After the game, you see the players. Now they switch jerseys. They'll take you. Take my jersey. Take yours. You know, and. It's just a game. I told you the story about the Penn State, Ohio State, when the one player from Penn State, he took it too serious. It wasn't a game to him. He took it too serious. When they lost, late in the game, they lost. He ran into the dugout or to the locker room, and the coach went and got him and brought him out and said, basically telling him, it's just a game. It's just a game. Okay? And, you know, we've seen some great fights over the years. And you remember Ollie Frazier, the Thriller of Manila. You had Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard. And they in the ring, they try to take each other's head off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? They try to hurt each other. Joe Frazier's, when they fought the second time, his face looked like hamburger. Okay? But after the fight, know what they did? They went over and hugged each other. Okay? Tommy Hearns and Leonard, they went and hugged each other. Football players, they hug each other after the game because why? It's a game. It's a game. Now, when Satan was allowed to destroy Job and kill his whole family, afterwards he didn't go over and get Job a hug. Okay?
Amen.
He didn't get Job a hug. And you think about people in the Word of God who's had dealt with the devil, he never gonna give you a hug. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was trying to destroy Jesus, trying to get him to jump off the mountain and do certain things, he wasn't playing. It wasn't a game to him, okay? The lunatic from Gadara, when Satan was filled him with demons, he wasn't filled him with demons playing with him. He's trying to kill him. He was trying to destroy him. He didn't pat Ananias and Sapphira on the back after they lied to the Spirit of God and died. The rich man in hell. The rich man in hell. Him and Satan ain't buddies. Uh-huh. Ain't nobody in hell buddies with Satan.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Everybody in hell is like, man, this dude played a game.
Amen.
And there's a story. There's a story about a man loved to golf. He loved to golf.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And Satan came to him. Saying about me, I used to love to golf. Y'all know that. And so Satan came to him and said, you know what? You hang out with me and I'm going to take you to one of the greatest golf courses ever. He said, Augusta don't have nothing on this golf course. It's beautiful. It's lush. And I'll provide you with the golf cart and your clubs, everything you need. You just come and spend time with me. So the man, listen to Satan. And we know Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. So the man dies and goes to hell. And when he gets to hell, beautiful golf course is down there. It's a beautiful, man, listen, beautiful golf course. The man said, man, this is a beautiful golf course. Gave his clubs. Gave him a golf cart. He said, go do your thing. Satan said to the man, go do your thing. So the man said, something missing. Something missing. Guess what was missing? There were no golf balls in hell. That was bad. Evelyn said that was bad.
Amen.
Listen. Listen about this warfare. Okay? Let me talk about this warfare. Here's what happens when warfare comes. This is why you gotta be ready. When warfare comes, three things happen. Hardship. Okay? Three things come with warfare. When warfare comes, discipline. Why discipline, Pastor? Because what you know, you're going to have to lean on.
Yeah.
And you have to discipline yourself. Soldiers have to be disciplined.
Amen.
Soldiers have to be willing to suffer hardship.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So we got hardship, discipline, and suffering. When warfare comes, three things go away. And some of y'all know that now. All we got to do is think about what's happening with our loved ones that are missing in this church. Okay, when warfare comes, and I call warfare sickness, I call warfare disease, I call warfare all that stuff. And when it comes, guess what leaves? Guess what leaves? When your parents get sick and you got to take care of them. When your loved ones get sick and you got to take care of them. When Satan comes, what leaves? Three things. Comfort. Okay? Comfort leaves.
Uh-huh.
Life ain't comfortable when warfare hit. And we want to be, you know why nobody's a struggle for us? Because all we want is comfort. All we want is ease. Ease lives. Leaves. Know what ease is? Somebody say, what is ease, Pastor? No trouble. When warfare comes, you got trouble. You don't have ease. Know what else leaves? Convenience. Think about it. Now I use sickness. I use disease. Just get old. Warfare on your body. You start getting old and your body doesn't work like it used to. Guess what you don't have? Comfort. Why do we think we got a prescription drug epidemic in this world? Because folks want comfort, ease, and convenience. They don't want to hurt a little bit. How many in here hurting physically? How many in here got a part on their body that's hurting? Oh, yeah. You don't got to raise your hand. Probably other than Jill. Know what we do? Know why the church is in the situation it is? Because warfare comes. You know what the church wants? Comfort. Ease. Inconvenience. Let me say that again. Comfort, ease, inconvenience. You know what convenience means? I do when I'm ready. I'll do it when I get ready. And you know what happens? When a church is run by convenience, nothing happens. Because there's never going to be a convenient time.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You know, and Satan is a great procrastinator. Okay? So if the church is run on convenience, guess what's going to happen? How's it going to run? It's going to run bad. Because it's never been convenient to be a Christian.
Amen.
Okay? It wasn't convenient for Jesus. See, well, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. If we say we're Christians, then guess what? Our life of comfort, ease, and convenience has what? Suffering. It's going to go away. Because it wasn't convenient for Jesus to come down from heaven. It wasn't convenient for him to be born of a virgin. It wasn't convenient for him to be whipped and spit on. And it definitely wasn't convenient for him to be crucified.
Amen.
More comfortable. And you know what? Cindy asked me, what is your one goal? What is one thing you want to do in 2018? If one thing you want the church to do in 2018, I want to reach this community with VBS. I know some of y'all are saying, I just want to make sure the pastor anniversary. I want to make sure we can do that. No. It ain't about the pastor anniversary.
Amen.
Okay? I want us to reach the community. I want us to have our BBS for 2 weeks. And guess what? You know what that's going to cause? Inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take your comfort away and your ease away. Because if we had to just do it, I told Cindy, if this is me and you, we're going to run BBS. Because God going to do it.
Amen.
That's it. And I know already, it's going to be tough. Well, we're going to talk about that on Monday the 15th.
Amen.
Okay. Listen. We're going to do this lesson. Before you can go into warfare. What you need to know. I watched the Wild Cards game yesterday. I didn't watch it. I listened to some of them on the radio, and I know who won. But as soon as the final score was announced, as soon as Pittsburgh and New England realized who they was going to play, guess what they started doing? Preparing. They started preparing for one going to prepare for Atlanta, and the other one going to prepare for who? I forget. Tennessee. Okay. Know what we got to do? Got to know our enemies. We have to know who our enemies are. Many Christians don't even know who their enemies are.
Mm-hmm.
Many people who call themselves Christians are in cahoots with their enemies. They don't even know the difference between an enemy. They don't even know who their enemy are. Let me tell you who your enemies are. Got the one. 1 Peter 5:8 says this about your enemy. An adversary. You know what an adversary is? An enemy. Someone out to get you. And Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be sober. Okay? 1 Peter 5:8. Be serious. You know, see people in the church, okay? They complain, gotta go to church. Gotta go to church. And the preacher preaches, he really don't preach, he just teach. He's just a talker, he's just a lecturer. No. Jesus was a teacher.
Amen.
Okay, he didn't run around. I know some of y'all, we had a good time at church. Pastor, he was, you know, got the big towel and wiped his forehead. Then when the adversary come, and all that dancing and clowning, you don't got nothing in you. Nothing in you. You haven't been taught. You've been tricked. Let me give you a verse. Hold that 1 Peter 5. Let me give you a verse. And a lot of times people think this is about the devil. This verse is not about the devil. People say, when I read you this verse, immediately you're going to think that the Word of God is talking about the devil. You know what he's talking about? Before I read, I'm explaining. He's talking about preachers. This verse is not about the devil. It's about preachers. Watch this verse. Now, John 10:10. Some of you guys know it. He says this. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know that verse is not about the devil. That's about people coming and teaching you wrong. Trying to fleece you and take your money and really when they do all that, you don't hear no word, you don't have no power, you don't have the Spirit of God, you haven't been, the invitation haven't been given to you, and you're so weak. You're so weak, and that preacher has destroyed you.
Amen.
He has destroyed you. And you know why he's destroyed you? Because you have no weapons. You have no fight in you. You don't have no power. And that power comes from hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
You got to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
People say, why? I talk to church people, don't know nothing.
Uh-huh.
Don't know nothing. Been going to church all their life and don't know nothing. Okay? I say, turn to Genesis. Now preachers just got phones in the pulpit and stuff like that. Come on, man.
Amen.
Peter says, be sober. How many of y'all know if you was a member of, say, the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick called a team meeting? I know I'm using a lot of sports. I hope some of you women here know a little bit about it. I know Paula know about Bill Belichick. Okay. So she know. So some of you other don't know, he's a head coach. And he's one of the most successful head coaches. But he's also a real disciplined guy. So if he called a team meeting, and I've read where people show up late or miss, they get suspended. They don't play the next game because he's serious about these meetings. Okay? So what Peter's saying, he's calling the meeting. He's calling a meeting with all the believers. And these believers were under attack. They were under attack. And believers are always under attack. The only reason folks ain't under attack are they're not believers. Okay? They don't stand for anything. But these believers were under attack, and what Peter was trying to calm them down, he said, be sober. Be vigilant. Vigilant means be on watch. Set that security system around your life. Set that security system around your marriage. Set that security system around your children. Set it. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. See, he's a roaring lion. He's not that lion when we grew up in the little cartoon where the lion was sitting there and the little mouse pulled the thorn out of his hand and he was pat the mouse on the head. He's not that kind of lion. He's a roaring lion. He's trying to take you out. He's trying to kill you. He wants to kill you. He's not toothless. He's not toothless and too tired to roar. No, you know. He's not the lion of the Wizard of Oz. Y'all knew that was coming. As soon as Dorothy slapped him. You ain't slapping this lion. He's a roaring lion. He's walking about. He's not even running. Some Christians so lazy, they can catch him by walking. They walk up on him. Walketh about. Seeking whom he may devour. Okay? Seeking whom he may devour. He's the devil. And Paul said, yeah, here's the devil. Paul says in Ephesians 6, he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. That's the only way you're going to be able to deal with this devil. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not yours. You can't deal with it. You can't deal with Satan with your own power. Many of us try to do it.
Amen.
He said, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's a wile? Tricks. He don't trick you into thinking you're all right. You know what one of his greatest tricks is? You're all right. You on your way to heaven. Just do what you want to do. Do what's your thing and you do what you want to do. You're on your way to heaven. You don't have to go to church. You ain't got to listen to the word of God. You ain't got to be praying and studying and going to Sunday school and Bible study. You ain't got to do all that. Look, you on your way to heaven, man. Uh-huh. By the empty seats, there's a whole lot of folks that believe that.
Uh-huh. Amen.
You ain't got to listen to that. If you're going to go to church, go to church on the south side. All the cute girls is over there and all the handsome guys over there. Get you a husband. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand. That word able means strength. Strengthen to stand. You can't stand on your own. Fight this thing. Many of us now, we all bruised up, marked up, because we didn't try it on our own. We didn't try it on our own. Okay? And I stand accused. I didn't try it on my own. It didn't work. Okay? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay? but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places. Okay? Now verse 13. This is our enemy. Okay? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Take it all. Take every piece. Take the helmet. Take the shoes. Take the shield of faith. Take all of it. You can't go into battle without your helmet. Okay? You know, they stop the game. Your helmet come off in the NFL, you got to go out of the game. It's that important. If it's that important in the game, if it's that important in the game that you have your helmet on, protect your head. And we let everything go into our head. He said, take on whole armor, God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's that evil day we was talking about earlier. That's the evil day. That's the evil day. The evil day may be the day when the fight is over. Now, you know, Jake over here is a boxer. Now, if they still administering to Jake after and then the other guy standing up and he's still on the ground and they didn't call the doctors over, they looking at him, they flashing that light in his eye. What's the problem? Lights out. Okay? He's not able to stand. So he's not victorious. See, the victorious ones stand. And you've been to a fight and you don't know who won the fight. It might be a split decision. But both of them are standing. And the other one, when they raise the one victorious guy's hand up, the other one, yeah. He don't agree with it. Why? Because he fought good. Fought strong. How you fight? How's your fight today? How's your fight today? Are you able to stand? Are you able to stand? How do we stand? Stand on God's word. Y'all know what I do. We stand on God's word. Give me a word. Give me a word, Pastor. Give me a word. If I had to give you a word, I got a couple of them highlighted here. Here's some words that Satan hates. Because God used the word of God to fight him in the wilderness. God used the word of God. You don't have a lot of tools. You have the word of God. You have the word of God. Here's Acts 2:38. Turn there and watch this verse. Why would now you think about it as I read it? Why would Satan hate this verse? He has to hate it. Because if you believe this and do it, Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated. But it's not easy. Peter's teaching here, and then Peter said unto them, now this is find out why Satan hate him. Repent. There's a word hate Satan hate. Repent. Why would Satan hate the word repent? Think about that, Margaret. Why would Satan hate the word repent? Because prior to repenting, what are we doing? We walk in arm in arm with Satan. We walk in arm in arm with Satan. So when Peter says repent, he's saying turn from Satan. Turn from Satan. Turn from Satan. And what? Be baptized. Why would we be baptized? Why would a person be baptized? Think about this. Think about it. Here's the word of God saying here. Repent first. Show the world that you're serious about the things of God. That you've gotten rid of all the garbage in your life. You've asked God to give you the power to turn. And you turn away from all the mess. Okay? Now, if you still got mess, you don't need to repent. I want to repent. Okay? See, my rich young ruler, he come running. And really what Jesus told him to do is repent. He said, repent and follow me. And then he looked around and said, I got a lot of stuff. Then Jesus said, repent and follow me. He said, Jesus, I got a lot of stuff. He said, go sell it all to the poor and go sell it all and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Repent means turn. How far? 180. That means you're no longer walking the way you did. You're no longer doing the things you did. You're no longer agreeing with some of the things you once agreed with. It's not sweet to you anymore. Now you've turned from some things. Okay? And when you turn from some things, guess who's going to be upset with you? Satan. Satan and his minions and his followers. Because you're not going to be in their army no more. You're not working for them no more. And it may cost you. Okay? It may cost you, folks. I sit here and say, you know, word of God comes. Word of God comes in divided houses. Okay? turns father-in-law against son and son-in-law against father, mother against daughter. It is what it is. Uh-huh. You repent, and the person you was sinning with don't repent. Guess what happened? Okay? Guess what happened? You say, you know what? I heard that preacher, and now I'm going to start following Christ. Well, your partner may not have heard the preacher. And say, well, you know, I heard him too, but I'm not ready to give up some stuff. And you give it up and he don't, guess what happened? Or you give it up and she don't, guess what happened? House divided. Okay? And you know what God's word do? Divide houses.
Amen.
Some of you sitting here now, don't want to hear this? Don't want to hear that? Be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus, that's not just words. Okay? When you get baptized in the name of Jesus, what you're saying is, I'm getting baptized. I'm making an allegiance with Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to clean up. How does the song go? I'm going to clean up what I messed up. Start my life all over again. In the name of Jesus means you're going to clean up some stuff. Okay? You baptize in the name of Jesus for what? For the remission of sins. Any known sins in your life. Before you get baptized, you're going to say, you know what? All y'all watching me, I'm getting ready to go in this water. Okay? I'm getting ready to go in this water. And I'm getting baptized because of all my sins that I know about. All the sins is being dropped off in this water. And I'm coming up a new man. Now, ain't no use getting baptized. You ain't saved before you get in the water. Now, let's be honest with you. Get baptized. Somebody says, I want to be baptized. Well, you need to be saved first.
Amen.
Okay? You need to be born again first. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior first. Amen. Then you get baptized for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, you need to have it. You need to know Jesus. Satan hates that verse. He hates that verse. Well, you know your next enemy? You get that little conference call. You're in the locker room. You're in the conference room. And you planning your strategy for the next game. Well, you know your enemy is the devil. You know what the second one is? The world. The world. How about that? The world. We say, what's wrong with the world? Really? You got to ask yourself that. Okay. 1 John. I know I give a lot of verses. 1 John 5. Watch this now. It's going to be long. He says this. Now this is St. John, John 3:16. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, that's a believer. You can't be a believer if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is born of God. Okay? And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. John 3:16. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandment. A believer is going to keep his commandments. Or like 50 Cent say, he said, get rich or die trying. The believer says, we're going to follow the commandments or die trying.
Amen.
Okay? None of us follow them all the way. But we ought to be working at it.
Amen.
I want to follow his commandment. What's God's word say about that? What's God's word say about this? I'm doing this. What's God's word say? And you have to do a self-examination. It's not my job or anybody's job to examine you. So, you know, you will examine yourself, but the more you're familiar with scriptures, the easier it is for you to examine yourself. The word of God says, and we're going to do it in communion, that a man examine himself. See? I mean, we got a lot of folks that like to examine other people. Then we have to take a good look at ourselves.
Amen.
Okay? For this is the love of God, verse 3, that we keep his commandments. Well, if you love God, you keep his commandments, guess what you're going to do? The world, you're going to have problems with the world.
Amen.
You're going to have problems with the world. But guess what? Verse 4. Thank you, Jesus. For whatsoever is born of God. Okay? For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Okay? And that gives you power. That gives you power. John, 1 John 2 and 15, you guys know this one. It says, love not the world. Love not the world. Okay? What does the world do? The world seeks its happiness from stuff. Okay? And there's a difference between... Let me keep going. Love not the world. Neither the stuff. That's a different version. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me tell you something. Okay? We love this world. We love what the world has to offer. And we love the stuff of the world. We love the fanfare of the world. We love it. And when your love for the world is so great, you can't love God in the world. Okay? You just can't.
Amen.
For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust of the flesh. Like touch stuff. Smell stuff, taste stuff, eat, drink, and be merry. Satan says, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. You ain't got to go listen to that stuff. Do your thing, okay? You're a man. Nobody can tell you what to do. Don't listen to that preacher. Don't listen to that Bible. Don't listen to God. Do what you want to do. Eat off that tree.
Uh-huh.
Eat off that tree. I know. God didn't say, he didn't say you shouldn't eat off that tree. How many enemies have we identified so far? We got to get ready for these folks, people. The world and the enemy, Satan. You know what they equal? Sin. How many got sin in their lives?
Amen.
How many dealing with it? How many battling with it? How many get mad when you sin? Anybody here get mad when you sin? You just do something you don't want to do. You know that didn't please God. It didn't cut out of my mouth. And you can't get it back. Can't get it back. You ask God, God forgive me. For I have sinned.
Amen.
Okay? Sin attacks us. Mm-hmm. Sin attacks us. And we have to fight back. But before we can fight back, we got to know what kind of world we live in. We got to know what this sin does. You still in Timothy? Paul was telling Timothy, he said, Timothy, it's going to get tough. This is why we pray for the babies. This is why we pray for the babies. We pray for their mothers and we pray for their fathers because it's going to get tough. Okay? Can you imagine? Some of us out here are older. And can you imagine what this world going to be like in 20 years? When Ellen gets older, 20 years, when Jill gets older, imagine. 50 years from now, condition is in now. And this word was written thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. And you know, this God's word, because God is omniscient and all-knowing, but it's like he's writing it today. It's like it's fresh. He just wrote it last night. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, this know also, Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. When did the last days begin? When Jesus died on the cross, the last days began. He said, for men and women shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. Heard about a young woman just left her kid. Not in the heat. You'd hear about them leaving the kid in the car in the summertime. It was 100 degrees. She left her kid in the car when it was minus 20 degrees. Without natural affection. Without natural affection. It ought to be natural. It ought to be natural for a woman to love a child. It ought to be natural for a father to love his children. But we live in a world without natural affection. Fathers don't love their children. Some of them have so many they can't love them all. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. Truce breakers. You know, back in the day, it was taboo. It was taboo. You hear a Christian couple get a divorce. That's unheard of. You're almost ostracized from the church. Now we got pastors divorcing their wives. I divorced Cindy. What am I preaching y'all about?
Amen.
Well, pastor, we have a marital problems. Do what I did. What I'm going to say? What are you coming to me for? I have marital problems too. Woman took all my money. See, you just, without natural affection, truce breakers. Cindy Nash, listen, she ain't getting out of this marriage. Okay? She ain't getting out. She knows she ain't getting out. Truce breakers. And Bobby back there on my fiance. Huh, you, let me tell you something, bro.
Amen.
Okay.
Come on.
Come talk to me.
Amen.
Me and Sin take you out to dinner. You're not getting out and you signed a contract. That's covenant.
Amen.
Better mean it. See, we just use the word, I love you. We use that word too. It's just, I don't even mean anything no more. We love so much. And we just, it's just it lost its effect. I love you. I don't even, huh? First date? You ain't smelled my breath. You ain't seen me without all this makeup on. I love you anyway. Traitors. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How about that? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, there was a time in this country, loved God. It was a time in this country, loved God. And you know what? And I came up in the 70s, in the 80s, okay, where neighborhoods was solid. I hear Vaughn and Jeremy had their neighbors come. And when I grew up, and some of you guys, we knew everybody on the street. Everybody on the street had permission to whoop us. I'm like, dog. Everybody on the street knew us. Everybody, that's the Neil kids. You couldn't do nothing. As soon as your father come home, they come running out of the house telling everything you done. I remember one time I took some candy from a guy riding down the street. Hey, kid, I got some candy. See, y'all didn't think it was going on back then. And, man, I ain't think no big deal. See? And it was extension cords back then. I never took candy again from nobody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Listen, folks, listen. I'm going to close. I'm just giving you an introduction to where we're going to go for a few weeks in 2018, because we want to be stronger. We want to be stronger. We want to be stronger. I want you guys to be strong, because when adversity hit 218, and it is, we're going to have to deal with some stuff. And we got to be unified, and we got to stand on God's word. That's all. That's all. Stand on God's word. What's God's word? How does God's word say we should deal with this? And we don't know that because we don't handle the word enough. And they always tell the story about how do they do with the bankers? How does that bank teller know that's a fake money? They don't give them fake money to handle. They handle the real thing so much. You're so used to handling the real thing. See, handling the real thing, you know? Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. You know, if you handle the real so much, guess what happened when fake come? You recognize it. You recognize fake because you handled the real so much. And if you get so familiar with the word of God, you know fake.
Amen.
You know fake. And when what Paul's telling Timothy here in 1 Timothy 4 and 1 through 6 through 13, he say, feed the church. Pastor, it's not a game. It's not a game. Folks are lost. Folks coming in looking for the things of God. This is not an entertainment center.
Amen.
Okay? This is a house. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer.
Amen.
But you turn it into a den of thieves. Okay? A den of thieves. It's a place where you come and you ought to come expecting to hear the word of God. I like what Jeremy said. And I like the fact that most of you guys take for granted that when you come to church on Sunday, I'm going to give you scripture after scripture after scripture. That's all I have on these papers up here, scriptures.
Amen.
And here's Paul saying to Timothy, Timothy, preach the word. Nourish the church. Feed them. Feed them. Make them strong.
Amen.
Make them strong. Somebody, when you're the stronger you are, the stronger your marriage is.
Amen.
The stronger you are, the stronger your relationship with the world is. And that's not a good relationship, but you understand the world better. Maybe I should say it like that.
Amen.
The stronger you are, when adversity comes, you can hit it.
Amen.
You can stand. Watch what Paul says. Two verses, I'm close. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 4, 6. I like this. Because this is what I try to do. He says, if thou put the brethren, that's what you guys are, to know the Lord. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. Boy, I want to be a good minister. He said, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Okay? Nourished up in the words of good doctrine. I want you guys nourished up in the words of faith. Why is that? Why is faith so important? Faith is so important. Your faith. You don't have without faith. Somebody know the end of that. It's impossible to please God. And if it's impossible to please God, you're not going to spend a heaven eternity with him. If your faith don't please God, there's only one other person it can please. He says, nourished up in the faith, in the words of faith and good doctrine. Good doctrine. Where unto thou hast attained. Now watch this. And this is, like I said, this is 2,000 years old, but it's today. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. What's a profane old wise table? Profane means wicked, evil. Okay? And this is basically preaching to what a lost person want to hear. Okay? And somebody that want to stay lost. And the preacher say, well, you know I need to preach the word of God to him. I need to preach the deliverance to him. I know I need to preach the word strong to him. But if I do, the church, my church going to look like Pastor Neil's church over there on East Side. So instead of doing that, I'm going to preach profane old wives table fables. And some of y'all heard them. Okay? Vera sitting back there. She didn't always heard over the years some old wife table fables coming from the pulpit.
Uh-huh.
Y'all know what a fable is?
Story.
Little story. Little cute little stories.
Uh-huh.
No scriptures, just cute little stories. They give you a scripture to start off with. They don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And they laughing and talking and running all around. And oh, profane little wife fables. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. He said, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Okay? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. There's a life to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to prepare for that life. We need to be prepared for the next life. You cannot afford to die unprepared for the next life.
Amen.
Okay? And you know the pastor's job is? You know the preacher's job is, you know the evangelist's job is to prepare you for the next life. Now, I don't visibly get upset with folks. But I'm telling you something, if you sit in this church with me, and I've been here almost 10 years, and you die unprepared,
uh-huh.
Let me tell you something. I love preaching about going to heaven. I want to make sure y'all ready. I don't want nobody sitting here. Pastor, I don't think I'm ready to go. What have you been doing all these years?
Amen.
Some folks scared to fly. You got to be ready. This ain't popular stuff. People, what is this pastor always talking about? Us dying and going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus talked about it all the time.
Amen.
That's right. Leaving here. Folks leaving here. And if you come to church every day, you know how to be the most prepared people.
Amen.
For this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Watch this now. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. They're not a suggestion. Paul's not suggesting that Timothy teach these things. He's not saying, Timothy, you might want to think about teaching about heaven or getting your folks ready. He's not saying, you know, I think you ought to. He said, I command you to do that. Okay? Watch this now as I close with this verse. He says, let no man despise your youth. Timothy, timid. He was a little timid. It was a little scary. This is scary stuff. Anybody that's ever stood up here and preached, no, this is scary.
Amen.
Okay? This is scary. I sit there and shake as I teach Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible. Y'all see me shaking because it's scary. And I've been doing it a while. And it's still scary. Why? Because you talking to people's souls and heaven and hell is in play.
Amen.
Heaven and hell is in play. There's no game. Okay? Timothy had a real concern. Because folks didn't want to hear. Satan don't want you preaching solid, strong, biblical messages. He'd rather you clown. And most of the preachers get a lot of money for doing that. He said, let no man despise thy youth. He said, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity or in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. All those things. Be an example. In word. Let the word of God live in you and come and work his way through you. In conversation, when you talk to people, there's a certain way that you expect a man of God to talk or a woman of God.
Amen.
Okay? In love, there's a certain way we love. In spirit, a spirit-controlled person. You can't be spirit-controlled if your spirit ain't being fed. Okay? The kids come to my office, they say, Jay, Chapman, you got any batteries? See? And we run the same way. And if we not recharging our batteries, then we can't be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Spirit needs to be fed.
Amen.
It's like them babies, they need to be fed. They're going to start screaming in a minute. They get hungry, they start letting you know. And our spirits is just so weak. We ain't open up the scriptures. We not praying. We not fasting. We not fellowshipping. We not going to Bible study. We not going to Sunday school. And then we just sit here wondering why we so weak spiritually.
Uh-huh.
We don't have the strength to fight off nothing.
Yeah.
And Satan just love it. Just come and knock us over. He's so weak. Verse 13, I'm close. And she said, till I come. He set Timothy in place. He said, Timothy, until I come. I want you to do three things. He said, give attendance to reading, exhortation to doctrine. Let me tell you something what that means. I used to hear John MacArthur used to say this all the time, and I was coming up and studying. He would say, read it and explain it and sit down. That's all preaching is. You read it, explain it, and sit down. Remember Dr. Warren came here and said, listen, preach what it say. Not what you want it to say, or not what you think it's to say, and let it fall. Okay? And he's telling Timothy the same thing. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, explaining it, and to doctrine. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? I'm closing. Why is that so important? Here we go. Here's why. Here's why. And you win tonight, folks. Let's bear with me. 1 Corinthians 2. Here's why. Paul says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. He says this. He said, and I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why was all this so important? Verse number 5 explains it all. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you ain't going to heaven. I don't care what the preachers say. I don't care what church you belong to. Church folks don't go to heaven. Saved folks do.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Hell going to be full of church folks.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Hell going to be full of church folks. Here's why it's so important. That your faith, the faith that you have to have, should not stand in the wisdom of man. How about that? But in the power of God. Listen, folks. Your faith has to stand. And somebody said, well, how do I get this faith? How do I get this faith? Glad you asked. Glad you asked. You leave this place, or if you're in radio land or whatever they call it, MP3 land, you ask God. You say, God, I heard that preacher. I heard that preacher. And he said, I need faith, a powerful, strong faith to go to heaven. How do I get it? You drop down on your knees.
Amen.
And you say, Father in heaven, give me the faith to believe. Give me the faith to believe that you are real. Give me the faith to believe that you are real, that you are real, and you send your son, Jesus Christ, down on this earth to die for our sins.
Amen.
He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life, and they crucified him. They spit on him. They slammed a crown of thorns on his head. And as he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said something else. It is finished. It is finished. It's over with. And the Bible said there was a great earthquake and it turned dark all over the earth. But it only says one person. One person in a whole crowd seen all that was happening. One person. That centurion soldier, one person, all the earthquake and the darkness in the land, bodies coming out of caskets, and the one person, that soldier, that one soldier said, truly, truly, this is the Son of God. Precious Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Father God, for giving us the faith to believe. We thank you, Father God, we thank you in advance for someone, somewhere, California, New Mexico, Argentina, hearing this message saying, you know what? I'm going to thank you in advance, God, for giving them the faith to believe. Your word of God says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, says, it's for by grace are we saved. Through faith. And not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Father, give me that gift. Give somebody that great gift. Let them believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. Mm-hmm. And that he died for our sins so we won't have to die in him. Father, thank you, Father God, in advance.